Oh, thank God for the power of Christ. And I know that you're ready to honor God today through the reading of God's Word, so I encourage all of you now to take hold of the Holy Inspired Bible and turn with me, as you have these last several weeks, to the second book in the Bible. That's the book of Exodus. We've just been going through the book of Exodus chapter by chapter, and we find ourselves in chapter 4 today on this Father's Day, and we see a wonderful Father's Day message there in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 18. And I encourage you to keep your Bible open on your lap or to your side, as my sermon and its points will be coming from this text. They're provided for you there in the worship pages. I hope you'll follow along, take a few notes of your own, and we'll look together at four fathers out of Exodus chapter 4. Four fathers out of Exodus chapter 4. And as you're turning there, I hope that when you leave this building today, you'll grab a handful of these business cards back here in our foyer. Many of you received them in Sunday school today. It is a promotion for next Sunday. In this very place, at this same hour, we're going to have a one-day revival, and we've got some of the most anointed ministers coming to share with us on that day. Dr. Emir Kanner, the president of Truett McConnell College, is going to be our guest preacher that day. We're so blessed to be able to be on his schedule, and you're going to want to invite your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers to come and be a part of that. Grab one of those cards and just give it to them. Say, I want you to come. Be my guest at next Sunday's one-day revival at First Baptist. Hear Dr. Emir Kanner. And then this choir and orchestra is going to bless us again with a guest musician, Dr. Ben Kasten, who is the assistant professor of music at Truett McConnell College. And you're going to really be happy that you came and experienced the worship through music this next Sunday. So I look forward to great things, and I pray that you'll start lifting this request to the Lord right now, that God would meet with us here in His power, in His presence this next Sunday for our one-day revival. Exodus chapter 4, four fathers in these few verses here. And I want you to know that all four of these fathers are present in this worship service on this Father's Day. Many of you dads will relate to at least one of these fathers as we go through this list of four, beginning in verse number 18, where we see the honored father. Read with me about the honored father in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, "So Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, 'Please, let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive.' And Jethro said to Moses, 'Go in peace.'" Now notice something here with me. Moses honored his father-in-law by asking permission to go back to his homeland in Egypt and fulfill the call that God had placed on his life in that burning bush experience that we read about earlier on in the book of Exodus. And in doing this, he honored his father. He was working for his father-in-law. He was tending his sheep, so he had an obligation to him, and he asked to be released from his duty to fulfill God's calling and commission in his life. But this wasn't the only time that we see Moses honoring his father-in-law, Jethro. If you would fast forward to Exodus chapter 18, don't do it now, but you would see Moses again honoring his father-in-law by not only listening to his advice, but by taking his advice. And I would say to all of us dads, myself included, that we should not only respect and honor our own fathers, but we should respect and honor our father-in-laws. They have a lot of wisdom. They've gone down the path ahead of us, and we will prove ourselves wise by honoring them, by listening to their advice, and by also respecting them by asking their permission as it pertains to certain things. I mean, you asked for their daughter's hand many, many years ago. You asked permission then. I think it's wonderful to show deference to your father-in-law even after you've been married 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years. You're never too old to honor your father-in-law. How old was Moses here? Moses was 80 years old. He was a senior citizen. You never outgrow honoring your father and your mother and your father-in-law and your mother-in-law. If Moses could do it as an 80-year-old senior saint, well, we can do it, even in advanced years of age. And it's something interesting to me also. The Ten Commandments had not yet been given through Moses to the people of God. But we see here how the law of God was written on Moses' hearts as he kept commandment number 5. It hadn't been given yet, but he innately knew that he should honor his father and mother. In this case, his father-in-law, Jethro. It is interesting and has been wisely observed that that commandment number 5 serves as a transition between the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. And by that I mean the first tablet is commandments 1 through 4. And all of those first 4 commandments deal with us honoring and revering our heavenly Father. And what's so interesting is to come to the last commandments, the last table, commandments 6 through 10, and see how they differ from commandments 1 through 4. They talk about how we should relate to each other. And so right there, smack dab in the middle of these two tables of the Ten Commandments is commandment number 5, honor your father and mother. And I think it can be inferred from that that if we do a good job of honoring our Heavenly Father, it will go a long way towards helping us in our relationships with each other, beginning at home with our own spouse, our own parents, our own kids, and yes, even our in-laws. And so make sure that you're fulfilling that 5th commandment to honor your father and mother, as Moses did here in the case of his father-in-law, Jethro. Let me make another important point to you here. And I know many of you have probably already asked this question in your mind as I've been covering this point. Should I honor my father or my mother or my in-laws if they are dishonorable? Should I honor my father and mother if they are not living honorably before the Lord God? And I think our answer again is in the pages of Scripture in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. There we read about a man by the name of Jacob. And we read about his father-in-law, Laban. Do you remember Laban and what kind of character he was? He was one of the most conniving, scheming, and lying people in all the pages of Scripture. Yet Jacob honored his father-in-law even though he was dishonorable. And I know that's a bitter pill to swallow for many of us, but you honor the Heavenly Father when you honor your parents, yes, even if they are dishonorable. I want to say something to single adults here who are considering marriage. If you have found that special person that you think you want to spend the rest of your life with, before you pop the question or before you say yes, make sure you have observed how they treat their own parents. Why? Why would that have anything to do with my marriage? Well, I can give you a bona fide guarantee that you can take to the bank. The way they treat their parents is the way they'll treat you when you marry them. I know that seems like a quantum leap in logic, but it is true. You ask any married person here, and they will tell you that they have seen it. The way my spouse treats his or her parents is the way they treat me. And if they honor and respect and love their parents, well, then they're going to honor and respect and love you. Because you see, the closer you get to God, the closer you get to each other. Moses knew that. And that's why he honored his father-in-law here. We see this honored father, but then we go on in verses 19 through 20 and we see the helped father. Men, let me just go ahead and acknowledge something that I'm sure many of you have already discovered, and that is fatherhood is difficult. Fatherhood is hard. But many of us are unwilling to admit that. Many of us are unwilling to even ask God for help in discharging our duties as a father. Moses certainly recognized his difficult assignment as a dad, and we see that he needed help from God, and he wasn't afraid to admit that he needed God's help. Read with me the first part of verse 20, every eye there. It says, "Then Moses took his wife and his sons." He had two sons. They're not named for us here, but they're named in chapter 18, verses 3 through 4. I'll refer to that in a moment. "So Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt." Now, as I mentioned, we don't see the number or names of Moses' sons here, but when we go to chapter 18, verses 3 and 4, we see that Moses had two sons, and there we learn their names and what significant names they have, because they speak of what was going on in Moses' life at that time and how he was admitting that he needed help from God when he gave his two boys their names. What was the first boy's name? Well, in chapter 18, verse 3, we find that the first boy's name was Gershom. From the original language of the Bible, that Hebrew word Gershom means stranger there. And that's exactly what was going on in Moses' life when he had this boy, his first son, named Gershom. It speaks to the fact that Moses had just murdered an Egyptian and was a criminal on the run. I mean, he was running for his life. He was running from the law. He was running from his capital offense. He found himself in the wilderness, in the desert, in a place called Midian. He didn't know where he was in this wasteland. He was a stranger there. He had no kin. He had no friends. He was lost as a one-eyed goose in a hailstorm. He was as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. And he admitted, "I'm lost. I'm a stranger in this place, and I need help." You know, some time ago, I was driving in an unfamiliar countryside area that I had never been in before, and I did my due diligence. I MapQuested my route, but when I got the MapQuest and its suggested route, I was very disappointed because it looked like it was taking me way, way out of my way. And as I studied the map, I saw, well, there's a much more direct path to get to my intended destination. I mean, what do these people at MapQuest know anyway? They're just the experts. And so off I go on this little two-lane country road. And immediately I got this uneasy feeling. I mean, the further and further I went, I thought, this just isn't right. Maybe I should have taken the experts' advice. But this is the way a man's mind works, ladies, if you haven't discovered this yet. In a millisecond, I mean in less than a second, three thoughts entered my mind as I thought I might be traveling the wrong roadway. First of all, this thought entered my mind. How could I be wrong? How could I possibly be wrong. I mean, every man has this internal GPS, this global positioning system. I mean, we're like homing pigeons. We're like dogs. We have this sense of direction, and we know where things are. So in this millisecond, when I had this uneasy feeling, I asked myself, how could I possibly be wrong? The second thing that entered my mind in that millisecond was, and I'm making such good time. I mean, men are so goal-oriented. I mean, boy, we got the task, we got the assignment, we got to make 300 miles in this amount of time. I was so glad Amy wasn't with me. Amy or the boys were not with me on this day. And man, I tell you, ladies, you just got to understand us men. We're goal-oriented. We got to make 300 miles. We're not trying to burst your bladder. We're just trying to accomplish the task. And so here is my thought. In a millisecond, I had this uneasy feeling. How could I be wrong? And I'm making such good time. Also, I realized that I had already passed several places where I could have stopped and just admitted, you know, I'm lost. I need help. I need some direction. But I could see myself doing that. This all happened in a millisecond, going up to the local yokel standing around the pickle barrel, saying, am I going the right direction here? And then them say, oh, no, no, you need to go back this way. Then me getting my car, and then them laughing around the pickle barrel about the big dumb city feller that lost his way. So all of this went through my mind in a millisecond. 16 miles later, I finally admitted to myself, I'm lost. I need help. And men, don't let pride stand in your way of admitting, I'm a stranger in this land. I am lost. I can't find my own way. I need help. Which leads to Moses' second boy's name. He already admitted, I'm lost. I'm a stranger here, by naming his first son Gershom, stranger in the land. What did he name his second son in chapter 18 and verse 4? Eliezer. Do you know what Eliezer means in the original tongue of the Bible? It means, my God is my help. Do you see what's going on in Moses' life when he has his two boys? He admits, I'm lost in this Midian wasteland, in this Midian desert. I cannot help myself. And then he says, so my second boy's name is, my God is my help. I need help because I cannot help myself. Mister, you would prove yourself to be a wise man indeed if in this worship service you would honor the Heavenly Father by admitting that you are lost without Him. You cannot help yourself, that you're a stranger in this land, and you're going to cease from your own human efforts, and that from this day forward, God is going to be your help. You're going to seek Him for His direction and His guidance in your life. That's what Moses did. He was a helped father. But sadly, some men are too prideful to admit that they need help from God. I call this kind of dad the third person that we see here in Exodus chapter 4. I call him the hardened father. I know there are a lot of men here that are working out with weights, trying to have a hard body. I heard about a man that achieved a hard body in a very unusual way. He literally used his own body as a dartboard. Can you imagine that? And he allowed someone to approach him with one of these industrial staplers and staple staples into his chest. That's how hard a body he had. You want to know how he did it? He did it by eating metal. That's right. He did it by eating metal, literally. This Frenchman by the name of Michael Lotito grinds up bicycles into bite-sized pieces and he eats them. He has eaten 18 bicycles. He says the chain is the tastiest part. He prepares his digestive tract by drinking mineral oil. And over his life, he has eaten a grocery cart in 4 days. He has eaten TV sets. He has eaten a coffin with nobody in it. You'll be glad to know that. He has even eaten a Cessna 150 airplane. Sadly, Michael, this Frenchman, was attacked. He was mugged and he was stabbed. It required major surgery, but he recovered. And to celebrate his recovery, what did he do? He ate a robot. Now, men, I tell you what. I know that on this Father's Day, this is the only day that we get to choose the restaurant we're going to go to after church. Why don't you just forget about the place you'd planned on going to and just go to your local home improvement store and buy a lawnmower and just eat that lawnmower, and that way you'll have a hard body, because there's nothing wrong with having a hard body. But friend, I'll tell you what, there's a lot wrong with having a hard heart. Now, I'm preaching to some dads. I'm preaching to some moms. I'm preaching to some teenagers. I'm preaching to some singles that have hard, hard hearts. Much like the dad that we read about here in verse 21. Read with me there, chapter 4, verse 21. And the Lord said to Moses, "When you go back to Egypt, see that you do all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go." I want to ask you a question, you Bible students. Who hardened Pharaoh's heart? Did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Or did Pharaoh harden his own heart? Well, the answer is yes. Because here we read the first of 10 times that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But you go on in the book of Exodus, and an equal amount of times, 10 more times, you'll see there where it says Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And that just leads me to say to all of you dads, all you moms, all you teenagers, that you have a responsibility to allow God to soften your heart. Some of you have come into this worship service and your heart is like an old, hard, adamant stone. You refuse to be softened. You refuse to be broken by God. Well, friend, I want you to know today that if you do not soften your heart toward God, the day will come when He breaks you. I'll guarantee you that. And you could spend no Father's Day in a better way than by softening your heart to God and by listening to the advice of Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, which says today, not tomorrow, not next week, but today, on this Father's Day, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Mister, you've got a choice today. You can harden your heart toward this message. You can harden your heart toward the Word of God. Or you can allow the Holy Spirit to soften your heart, to humble you, and to break you in this place. Oh, friend, it'd be the most memorable Father's Day you ever had. You'd say, from this day forward, I stopped trying to do it by myself. I stopped trying to help myself. And I admitted my lostness and my need for a Savior. And I softened my heart towards God's direction in my life. Four fathers in Exodus 4, they're all represented here. The honored father, the helped father, the hardened father, and fourth and finally, the heavenly father. There in verses 22 through 23, read with me there, beginning in verse 22, begins with quotation marks. So we wonder who's doing the speaking. Well, we won't have to read long before we find out who's doing the speaking. Verse 22. Then you, speaking to Moses, then you shall say to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord." So who's doing the talking here? The Lord God, our heavenly Father. And He's giving instructions to this helped father, Moses, as he encounters the hardened father, Pharaoh. Again, verse 22. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, the hardened father, Thus says the Lord, the heavenly Father, Israel is my son, my firstborn. You see, just like we sang a while ago, Abba, Father, our heavenly Father has spiritual children. And in this case, it was spiritual Israel. And he's saying, they're my firstborn son. And I don't want my firstborn son to be mistreated one more day. Verse 23, look at it here. So I say to you, this is the heavenly Father speaking, I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed, I will kill your son, your firstborn. Wow. Here we have the four dads in view. We have Moses, the helped father. He was helped by God. He is encountering the hardened father, Pharaoh. He has so hardened his heart, so resistant to anything that God might say or do in his life. And the heavenly Father says, listen, I got a boy too. And it's Israel. And he's not just any boy. He's my firstborn. And if you don't let my firstborn son go, then Pharaoh, I'm going to kill your firstborn son. Wow. That would get the attention of most any dad. But it didn't get this hardened father's attention. It just hardened Pharaoh's heart even more. You remember how God visited 10 plagues on Pharaoh and his Egyptian empire? You remember what that 10th plague was? It was a fulfillment of verse 23. God had already given a merciful warning to Pharaoh and the entire Egyptian empire. He said, listen, there's going to come a night when the death angel is going to pass over every home, every family, every dwelling. And that death angel is going to visit every home in judgment by taking the firstborn son if he does not see the blood of a sacrificial animal over the doorpost. So the way to avoid judgment is to take the blood of the sacrificial animal and paint it on your doorpost. And when I see the blood, God says, I will pass over. I will spare your firstborn. The Hebrews believed God. Their heart was softened toward God, and they did this unusual command. They painted the blood of a sacrificial animal over their doorpost. And that night, when the angel of death passed over, he saw the blood, and he passed over. But when he came to each Egyptian home that did not have the sign of the blood, he visited them in judgment, and the firstborn died. Yes, even Pharaoh and his home were visited by the death angel, and his firstborn son died. Come in real close. I got something very important to tell you. And that is, every one of us in this building are firstborn. We have all had a physical birth, every one of us. I know a lot of you are debating with me in your mind. No, I'm the fourth born, nor I'm the third born. I'm the no, every one of us, spiritually speaking, are firstborn. We have been born physically. And my friend, to avoid the judgment of Almighty God, you must have the blood applied to your life by being born again. You must be second born. Being first born is not enough. Friend, if you're born once, you're going to die twice. You're going to die the physical death that all of us are destined for, and you're going to die in eternal separation from God in a Christless existence in a place called hell. But if you are born twice, born physically and born again by accepting the finished work of Christ as he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, when the angel of death passes over, oh friend, you'll be spared. And on this Father's Day, you could make no more important decision. There are dads sitting in this building. Your wife's been praying for you. Your mom, your father's been praying for you. Your kids, your grandkids have been praying for you. Your friends, your business associates have been praying that you would be born again, that you would allow the blood of Jesus to wash away the sins of your life. And then there are some kids here today. Your dad's been praying for you, that you would trust Jesus as your Savior. We had a wonderful week of Vacation Bible School. And it might be that you attended Vacation Bible School and you said, I want to be saved. The next step for you is to be identified with Christ through believer's baptism. And here's your opportunity. In a moment, we're all going to stand and you're going to have the opportunity. I'm going to be standing right down here at the front. And you can come from where you're standing. And I'll be so happy that you're coming, saying, I want to let everyone know I'm saved. I'm born again. And I want to be baptized. Perhaps you're a dad. Perhaps you're a mom. Perhaps you're a teenager. God's speaking to your heart on this Father's Day. Don't waste this moment. Don't waste this opportunity. You'll never have this same exact moment again. So let's bow our heads. Father, I just thank you right now for how you're speaking to hearts, for how you're speaking to children's hearts, for how you're speaking to teenagers' hearts and adults' hearts. And I pray that right now we would honor our Heavenly Father by being obedient to you. Father, I know there are some that are looking for a church home, and perhaps your Spirit is guiding them into the life of this church. I pray that they wouldn't hesitate. I pray that they wouldn't delay. I pray that they'd come today. And Father, we ask all of these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Without saying a word, you're turning in your hymn.